Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount, and he's teaching these folks a lot of things. And you know, it's a mystery to me that they stayed with him like they did. I see in Nehemiah, I believe, or Ezra 1, I forget which one it was, they built a podium and a pulpit, and they stood up on it and read the Word of God from morning till noon, and everybody just stood there and listened. They didn't have padded pews. They didn't even have folding chairs. They just stood for hours and listened to the Word of God being read. I tell you, if we're interested in the Word of God, it don't get too long. Talked to somebody the other night. They said, I had a preacher come to my church, preach for me the other night, and said he preached a real good message for about 30 or 40 minutes, and then he spent 30 or 40 minutes tearing it down. And you know, now when you get through preaching and just start talking, I'm done. I'm ready to go home then. But in Matthew chapter number 6, I want to start reading tonight verse number 19. And try to bring a message the Lord laid on our heart today. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We ask you, Father, just to anoint the preaching tonight. Lord, touch every heart in this building in some way. Lord, I ask you, Father, just to be with us. And Lord, help each one of us, Father, to get our heart and our mind centered on Christ and on your work and your the things of heaven tonight. Be with us, Heavenly Father. Help us to be better Christians. Lord, I just ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Jesus here, he's talking about people that are rich and people, well, not necessarily rich. Don't have to be a rich person to have treasures before the Lord. A lot of folks that I know is probably poor as Job's turkey, as the old saying goes, and they still got things between them and God. But my wife came in today and said, I heard a new term. She said somebody was talking about a old school Christian. I said, I didn't know there was such a thing. I've never heard that term before. And you know something, I told her, I said, you don't go to school to learn how to be a Christian. You practice and learn how to be a Christian. So if you're an old school or a new school Christian, you got a problem. We just need to be saved and be Christians, and don't worry about what school you came out of, because school didn't have nothing to do with it. But that's the mentality and the mindset that people have today. But Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where the moth and the rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through to steal. Now, Jesus, he said that we don't need to be laying up treasures in this world because they won't last. I know people, they want to build bigger houses. They want to drive finer automobiles. They want to have bigger bank accounts. And if that's your dream and your desire, then you go for it. And I hope you get everything out of life that you want. But I want to tell you something. It just, the older I get, the less those things mean to me. I had a friend one time, he said, if I had the money, I'd build the biggest house in the state of Tennessee. I said, what for? So people could drive by and say, wow, wonder who lives there. I mean, I've been in people's homes before, working in different things, and you go into a home that has maybe 6 or 7 or 8 bedrooms and a den and a great room and all these things, and they don't even have furniture in them. They're not using them. All they want, they could do with a 3-bedroom house with a living room and a kitchen. But they got all this big stuff so everybody will look at them and look up to them and fascinated. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not fascinated by what people have in this world. I'm fascinated by what people got in their heart. I'm fascinated by what Jesus is doing for you, not what you're doing for yourself. These things that we lay up here in this world, they're not going to last. If you can drive a big fine automobile, somebody told me a man one time had a car, they said one of the headlights burned out. Now, I believe they said it cost him $500 to put a headlight in. I said, I don't need that kind of a car. I don't know what he was driving, but I don't need that. Hey, my Buick's just fine. You know, if I had a Chevrolet or a Ford, that'd be just fine. I don't need nothing that I can't afford to put gas in and keep it on the road. But a lot of folks, that's all they want. Something for somebody to look at and driving down the road and say, wow, wonder who that is and what they do. Probably not enough to pay for that. But I want to tell you something. This is where our heart is. And Jesus in this 21st verse, he said, where a man's treasure is, that's where his heart's at. I want my treasure to be laid up in heaven and not here on this earth. There's people that will that can preserve a few things. You take the Declaration of Independence. It's probably getting close to 300 years old, I guess, or 200 and something, whatever. And it's still preserved under glass. But you take that out and start passing it around, it won't last very long. And I'll tell you something else. Jesus said heaven and earth is going to pass away. And when heaven and earth pass away, that document's going to be gone with it. Things don't last forever. Nothing is made to last forever except what you're laying up over in heaven. What you've got here will not last. People spend fortunes and lots of time preserving automobiles. You see one every once in a while for sale. And I remember one time when I was about 17 years old, I saw a 57 Chevrolet 2-door for sale, $350. And if I'd have had the money, I'd have bought it. I'd love to have had that car. You buy the same car today, it's not $350. It's probably more like $35,000 or something like that. I'm telling you, people are preserving these things. But you know something? When it's all said and done, it's going to wind up in the junkyard just like everything else, because nothing that man can make will last forever. And that's why Jesus said, lay up your treasures, not on this earth, but lay them up in heaven. Amen. Whatever you've got on this earth, somebody's liable to steal. I don't know if you've ever been broken in on or not, but I want to tell you something. Somebody steals something from you, and I tell you, that's the most sickest feeling I believe that you can have. To have something that you worked for and bought, and somebody else come and got it and carried it away. I tell you, we had a break-in one time, and I mean things was missing that I just could not believe was actually missing. I mean, I went to where my wood-burning stove used to be, and I went to where it was and stood where it used to be at. How in the world did they carry that thing out? It weighed about 400 pounds. Took me and another friend of mine, and we were strong back then, and it took two of us to carry it in there and barely got it in. And I'm like, how in the world or why in the world would somebody steal something that weighed that much? I mean, I wouldn't fool with it. But I'm telling you something, a thief will take anything. Nothing is sacred to a thief. And Jesus said, if the moth don't get it, and if the rust don't get it, then the thief's going to get it. Whatever you can lay up down here is subject to be taken away from you. But I want to tell you something, we can lay things up where they're safe if we'll do it right. It's not a matter of when the earth or if the earth's going to pass away. It's a matter of when. And when it does, everything that you've got is just going to go up in smoke. Yeah. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, Paul said this. He said, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary." And he said, "But the things which are not seen are eternal." And so Paul said, don't be looking at all this stuff that you can see, but start looking for the stuff that you don't see, the things that you've not seen. There's an old song that said, "I've never seen the face of my Savior, but one day I will." And I tell you, that's something that is eternal. And the things that I see here, it's just a matter of time till they're going to pass away.
Man.
Every time I go by an old shack falling down beside the road, I think about that used to be somebody's dream home. Somebody one day drove the last nail, turned the last screw, got their cabinets in, they did everything that they could do, and then they got their family and they moved in, and the love was there, happiness was inside the walls. Now the mom and dad probably gone on to be with Jesus or gone to hell, they're dead, and the children are all moved off and gone away, and the house that used to be a dream home is now got trees growing up through it, and it's just a fallen down old shack that nobody cares about. Listen, that's the way things are, you see. The things that we see will pass away. But the thing about it is, Jesus is still right where He was when I first met Him. He's still where He was when He first met me. And He is eternal.
Amen.
I'm thankful for that. Listen, the things here on this earth are going to decay. The houses that I lived in as a small boy, they're not there anymore. They're gone. One of them burned down around us. And the other one, Interstate 40, is running over where it used to be. And they're not there anymore. They're gone. So, you know, if we'd have had our hope and our trust and our love in those things, it'd all be gone. But I want to tell you something. Jesus has not went anywhere. He's still there, right where He's always been. I'm so grateful that I know that tonight. Listen, there was a rich man that I heard about that was dying, and he was very wealthy. And he called for his doctor and his lawyer to come into his house, and they went in the bedroom where he was laying dying, and the family was out in another room. And after a while, the doctor and the lawyer came out, and one of the outspoken family members jumped up and said, "How much money did he leave us?" And the lawyer said, "He left all of it. He didn't take one red cent with him. Everything that he had was left behind." Listen, I don't care if you've got $1 billion. When you die, you don't have any more than a man that's living on the street corner.
Right.
What we have here is nothing. It's what we have over there that's going to make a difference. The Bible said in Luke chapter number 12 and verse 16, Jesus tells them about a parable. He said, He spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits.' And he said, 'This will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said unto him, 'Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Listen, I don't care how much you got, what you think you got. When breath leaves this body, you got nothing. And that's just the way that it is, the way that it's always been. Every rich man that's ever lived has left it all behind. He's never, ever took anything with him when he left this walk of life.
Amen.
And Jesus teaches them. He said, don't look at what you got. Don't look around at the things round about you. And let me just say this. There's nothing wrong with wanting a nice home to live in. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have a nice car to drive. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. We've drove some cars that I'm telling you, it was questionable whether they'd get where we was going and back. But God always took care of us. I mean, He always had His hand on it. I remember hearing about Vestal Goodman one time. She said that her and Sam drove an old Edsel, I believe it was, and they drove that thing till the wheels was about to fall off of it. Finally, had got enough blessed enough to go buy another car, and they drove that thing on the lot, turned it off, traded cars, and drove home. And they said when they got home, the phone was ringing as a man at the car lot. And he said, what's the secret to starting this thing? I saw you drive it in, so I know it runs, but I can't get it started. And Sam one said, well, we always prayed before we tried to start it. And so you might try that. Listen, I've had cars like that. You had to pray before you started them because you didn't know if they were going to start or not. But God always took care of us, and He's blessed us with a little nicer now. Not new, but nice, you know. And there's nothing wrong with not wanting to drive junk. We went to a church one night, and this young man pulled in, and his car looked like somebody had machine gunned it. I mean, it was so full of holes, it looked like a sieve. I'm not kidding. And Carol looked at him, he's just a young boy, and he came and he played the piano, and he sung for the Lord. And she said, I wish that I had enough money to buy him a car. I said, I wish we had enough money to buy us one. But you look at people, and it don't matter how bad off you are, you always find somebody worse. And I said, if I had an extra car, I'd give it to him. And I meant that. I mean, and there would not have been anything wrong with him. That young man needed something better. But you know something? Sometimes we get extravagant. And we set our eyes on things below when they are to be set on things above. And we get our heart and mind set on things that there's nothing wrong with it to have a little better and a little nicer. I just thank God every night when I pray that I've got a nice warm house to live in. I've been in a cold house. I was raised in one of them. I was raised in one of those houses when the wind blowed, the windows rattled. I was raised in one of those houses where the air come up through the floor and through all the windows and the cracks in the walls, and there wasn't any heat in it. And I'm telling you something, my mama took care of us, kept us from freezing to death by putting 50 pound of quilts on us at night when we went to bed. And she'd say, now you get how you want to lay, because after I cover you up, you ain't going to turn over. And she was right, man. I mean, we've weighted down, but we survived. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have heat in your house. There's nothing wrong with that. But I want to tell you something. Some people just, they're not satisfied with anything. Paul said, be content in whatever state you're in. Some people are not content with anything. But Jesus said, don't lay your treasures up on this earth where the rust's going to get it and the moth's going to get it and the thief's going to get it. But he said, don't do that. But he said, lay up your treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. What I've got over there, I don't care. Maybe, well, Brother Jack left this year. Or last year. But you know something? He ain't going to get nothing over there that belongs to me. He's not going to go over there and just because he got there first get all my stuff. He ain't going to do it. What I've got laid over there is going to be there for me when I get there. And what you've got laid over there, ain't nobody going to get there before you and say, I'll slip in here and get that away from him. You can forget that. I mean, if you're even thinking like that, you probably ain't going to make it anyway. So I won't have anything to worry about anyhow. But I want to tell you something. The thief can't take what Jesus is guarding for me. I lay it up in heaven. Jesus said, okay, it's right here for you when you get here, buddy. I've got it in my control. I'm going to take care of it. And one day after a while, you know what? I'm going to be rewarded for that.
Amen.
It's what I think anyway. You may disagree. I don't care. It won't make me mad if you disagree. But listen, what I lay up over there is eternal. What I lay up over there will be there when I get there. What I lay up over here may not last overnight. I mean, you just don't know who or what is going to come into your house and take your stuff. It just, I'm telling you something, we're living in dangerous times. And everybody wants something for nothing. But Jesus said, don't worry about that. Don't worry about what you got over there, because just worry about what you got over here. When you get home, listen, my stuff's laid up at home. Stuff that I've got here in this world, it's laid up at home. And when I get home, I hope it's still there. But what I got laid up in my heavenly home, I know is going to be there. And I'll get it one of these days after a while. Listen, I'm not saved by works, but I'm saved to work. And I'm going to be blessed and rewarded for all the works that I do. Sometimes I'll be rewarded over there for the works I do. Sometimes God rewards me over here a little bit for the works that I do. Sometimes I come into the church and sit here in the choir singing or somebody preaching or testifying, and the Holy Ghost of God starts making laps around inside my heart. Man, I want to tell you something. I'm glad for the blessings of God that I have here. But one day when I reach yonder, I'm going to have those things. They're going to be laying there waiting for me when I get home. And I'm so glad of that tonight. Jesus said in the 21st verse, He said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We can talk about how much we love God, but our actions will speak louder than our words. You can say, I love the Lord, and you never go to His house. And I want to tell you something. I can tell you with a surety you don't love the Lord. You can say, I love the Lord, but you never do anything for Him. I can tell you, you don't love the Lord. Everybody in this world, if you ask them, are you saved? 99% of them are going to say yes. Do you love the Lord? 99% of them are going to say yes. But 75 or 80% of them or 90% of them is doing nothing for Jesus. Now, I want to tell you something. As old saying, the proof's in the pudding, and your actions speak louder than your words. And you don't even have to tell me you love God. If you do, you'll show me, and I'll see by your actions that you love Him. You don't have to tell me anything. You don't have to wear a sign on your back that says, I'm a Christian. If you're a Christian, I'll know. You don't need a sign. You don't need one. It'll all show out on you if you really love God. You can talk about it all you want to. The lady today that mentioned being an old school Christian. She's supposed to be a Christian. She's a church member anyway. She's a youth leader in a church. But I want to tell you something. There is no old school and new school Christian. They're just Christians. Yeah. And if you are. And if you're not, you're not. And it don't matter what you call yourself. Don't matter what you think about yourself. If you love God, it's going to show. Yeah. And everybody that comes in contact with you for any amount of time is going to know it. People work hard to preserve this flesh. I know people that have facelifts. I know people that have everything lifted. You can only lift stuff so much. You ever see somebody's had so much, their skin on their face stretched so much that they can't even shut their eyes, man. I mean, but you know something? This flesh is still going to go back. The Bible said, from dust you came, and to dust you shall return. I don't care what you do. You're still... You know what the percentage rate is of people dying? 100%.
Amen.
It's 100%. The only two people that got out of this world without dying was Elijah and Enoch. And besides that, everybody that's ever been born has died. So you do what you want to your flesh, and you're still going to die. But we work hard to preserve it. I don't have anything against you exercising. I get tired just talking about it. But hey, if you want to do it, you go right ahead. I need to. I've been trying to. I was going to go first year and start. I've been sick or busy ever since first year. That's my excuse anyway. But we do whatever we can to preserve this flesh. We'll run to the doctor. Oh man, I got an ache. I got a pain. We'll take medicine. We'll take pain pills. We'll do whatever we got to do to preserve this thing, knowing that it's limited. This time here on earth is limited. But I'm glad what I've got living inside of me is eternal. I'm glad that when this body returns to the dust, Paul said to be absent from this flesh is to be present with the Lord. And I'll tell you, I'm glad tonight to know that I can't preserve this thing. I can only preserve it so much and so long, and then after a while, it don't matter what you do. I don't remember how old Jack LaLanne was when he swam across the English Channel. I mean, he was one of them people, you look at him and say, I don't think that man's ever going to die, but he did. He did. I mean, he took good care of himself. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know something? Death still come knock on his door and say, come on, buddy, we're out of here. Yeah, but wait a minute, I got more weights to lift. Nope, you're done. I got more channels to swim across. Nope, you're done. When you're done, you're done. I mean, that's just all there is to it. I don't care what you do. Jesus said, don't look at the things in this world and this life, but lay up your treasures in heaven. I'm more worried about what I'm going to be when I get over there. Folks spend fortunes and spend lots of time, lots of hours in preserving old automobiles. There's nothing wrong with that. If you got the money and you got the time, which I don't have either one, but if you've got it and you want to build a hot rod or rebuild an old 30-something model Ford or Chevrolet or whatever, you go for it. I just hope when you get it done, you let me drive it or at least ride in it. I mean, hey, I don't care. But you know, what I'm saying is it don't matter what you do, that thing is still, it's going to wind up in the junkyard sooner or later. I don't care how many thousands of dollars you spend on it, it will not last. Everything on this earth, Jesus said the rust will eat it up or corrupt it and the moth will eat it up. But he said that if they don't, the thief will steal it. If I had a car that's worth anything, somebody would steal it. I know they would, so... Hey, I'm blessed not to have one, I reckon. I'd just be mad if I did and somebody got it. But listen, he said, you know, people talk about preserving things. We preserve houses. People go through, there's a place right over here in Knoxville, not too far away from here, where they went through there and just really, really rebuilt that whole community over there. And it's beautiful. But those houses are going to fall down one day. They're not eternal. Anything that you've got here in this life is not going to last forever. People got all kinds of possessions that they're trying to take care of, trying to preserve. I saw the Mayflower when I was over at Plymouth Rock. I saw a replica of the Mayflower. The original Mayflower didn't make it. They had to build a replica. We went to Charleston, South Carolina, and went on the USS Yorktown. I believe that's what it was, the aircraft carrier. But it's not the original. I think the original's laying out in the bottom of the ocean somewhere. It's a replica. They had to rebuild it. Nothing lasts forever. So what we need to realize is that what we have here in this life is only temporary at best. But what we have in glory... I want to tell you something. Jesus is going to come one of these days and I'm going to go to my reward. Amen. I'm going to go be with the Lord and I'll get my reward in that day. And everything here, I don't care what it is, one day will be gone, including us. But I tell you, we need to just really get on fire for Jesus. Try to take as many people to heaven with you as you can. You know, people, they act like they're getting ready to live here in this world forever. And we're not going to do it. The oldest man in the Bible that the Bible mentions is Methuselah, 969 years old. That's the oldest man. Everybody else younger than that. A lot of them lived to be 900 something, 800 and something. After the flood, their years started decreasing. I think Abraham's 175, and maybe Jacob might have been 130 or 40 or something, and Isaac was up there pretty good, but you know something, they all died.
Yeah.
And today, life expectancy of man, well, Jesus, or the Bible said your life would be 70, that's 70, and if you got any more than that, you're blessed.
Uh-huh.
You're blessed. My dad's 88th birthday is tomorrow. He's blessed. He is. But you know something? One of these days, all that time, it's going to run out for every single one of us. What are you doing for Jesus tonight? He said, where your heart is, there's where your treasure is. Where's your heart tonight? While they come get a song, where is your heart? Is your heart in this world? You know, I hear people testify sometimes, and you can ask, say, anybody got a testimony? And most people will testify, and it goes something like this. Man, I'm so blessed. God, give me a pocket full of money. I'm so blessed. God, give me a new car. I'm so blessed. God, give me a new house. I'm so blessed. God, give me all material things. What about being blessed because I had the opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus? Oh, you mean that's a blessing too? Yes, that's a blessing. What about being blessed with health? What about being blessed with strength? What about being blessed with being able to go to the house of God? There's several in our little church that are not able to be here tonight. They would feel blessed if they could have been here instead of laying home banged up or sick. We're blessed tonight, church. Not because of what we have in this life, but because what God gives us, what we've got in our heart, and what God gives us every day. I woke up this morning, got out of bed, walked through the house. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I was able to come to the house of God tonight. I'm blessed. What about you? Where is your treasure at? Where's your heart at? Father, we thank you for giving us another privilege to stand tonight, bring the message. Lord, I ask you, Father, to take the Word of God, Lord, put it in folks' heart tonight that they could come to realize that, Lord, everything on this earth is not so much a blessing, but, Lord, what we have with you. God, I ask you to help each one of us. And Father, help us to be better Christians. Closer to you every day. Lord, just be with us. Lead, guide, and direct us. Help us, Father, to do more for Jesus and less for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. While we stand tonight, while we sing a couple of verses of an invitation, if you need to come tonight, say, preacher, my heart's in the wrong place. You can come tonight and get that straightened out if you want to. While we sing a couple of verses, will you come? Thank you.